Let's read scripture again tonight that we read last night and that Larry quoted a while ago, most of it. That is from the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Again, began to read with the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or the margin reads, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What does that mean in the evil day? He talks about the wiles of the devil in the evil day. That is when Satan's raising up his ugly head. Amen. And he's on the move. You'll be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now the next word is praying. You see, after you've done all of that, you're ready to pray now. And the purpose of putting on your armor was to get ready to pray. Because prayer is battle. No, you're not battling God, you're battling the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice particularly that it said praying always with all prayer. Another translation said all kinds of prayer. You see, there's more than one kind of prayer. Sometimes we've heard so much teaching on the subject of faith that we're only familiar with the prayer of faith. That's only one kind. And there are other kinds of prayer. You need to realize that one kind of prayer, only one kind of prayer, is never going to get the job done. There are some jobs you can't get done with the prayer of faith. In the first place, you can only pray the prayer of faith for yourself. You can't pray the prayer of faith for me unless I agree with you. You're not going to get somebody healed and you believe in they're healed and them believing they're going to die. They're not in agreement with you. Are you listening to me? You see, if you could just, with your faith, push off on somebody else, whether they want it or not, then we could push salvation off everybody in the world and get them all saved tonight. We'd go into millennium tomorrow. No, when it comes to whatever the God promised us, and He promised to supply all of our needs, then we can pray and we can believe that. But you see, it's another thing for me to believe that God will supply your needs. Now why? First place, I don't even know what your needs are. Are you listening to me? And I can't believe for something I don't know what it is. Or I can't agree on something when I don't know what it is. And so, the prayer of faith will not meet all needs. There are different kinds of praying. You'll notice, even the King James said, praying always with all prayer. All prayer. Well, you see, if there's just one kind of praying, then he would have just said, praying always with prayer. But he said all prayer, and other translations bring it out clear, all kinds of prayer. Now, the Lord led us to deal in this seminar, because we're here only 3 nights, with one particular kind of prayer, and that is intercession, the prayer of intercession. Now, we looked last night, and this looked briefly again, at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now we spoke about last night interceding for a nation, or our nation. Here he said, intercession, giving of thanks for all men. And then he specifies particularly the all men he speaks of, those days kings headed up the nations, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now, I want you to notice something here very carefully. You see, some kind of praying, you don't need to pray but one time. But other kinds of praying, you need to constantly pray, continue to pray. Are you listening to me? And we need to understand that. We need to understand that. And in this area of intercession, but remember this, that the Bible talks about we Christians, that Christ ever liveth to make intercession. He didn't just make intercession once and for all. He does that daily, make intercession for us. No, this is something that you continue to do constantly. Did you notice he didn't say supplication, prayer, and intercession, but plural, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Amen? Intercessions. And so you continue to intercede and to pray. Now, how desperately our nation needs it. How desperately our nation needs it. How desperately the world needs it. How desperately the church needs it. And so let's take our place. Now tonight, let's talk about interceding against the powers of darkness. Did you notice that the text, one of our texts said here, for we wrestle? When you think of wrestling, that's battle. That's fighting. Amen. That's putting forth strenuous effort. Amen. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. He didn't say we do not wrestle. He said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Who is it that we're wrestling against? We wrestle against. You know, when folks wrestle, they put their strength against the other fellow's strength. Amen. We wrestle. That's the reason he said, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Because in your power, you're no strength for these principalities and powers. In your human strength. And so, he said, we wrestle. We do wrestle against principalities. Against powers. Now get this. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Jesus said, the whole world lieth in darkness. Notice this text, for instance. We're right here in Ephesians. Why don't you turn right over to Colossians? The next book is Philippians, you know, and then there's Colossians. Notice Colossians, the first chapter. Let's look at the 12th and 13th verse, and it'll help us to see something here. There's much here, but there's one truth I want you to get. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet. The word M-W-T is a little blind to us. Another translation said, who's made us able, we Christians, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're not in darkness, we're in light. So the rulers of the darkness of this world are not ruling us. Now notice the 13th verse. Who hath, the Father hath, delivered us from the power of darkness. Or we could say from the rulers of darkness. He's delivered us from the rulers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now notice the expression used in these two verses, light and darkness. Go back to Ephesians, and in that verse he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Everybody that's not born again and in Jesus are in darkness, and they're dominated and ruled more or less by demons and evil spirits. And not only that, but Christians who will keep on sinning and backslide will be ruled to some extent by devils and demons. Rulers of the darkness. You get over in the darkness, you're going to be ruled by the rulers of darkness. We're wrestling ruled by the rulers of darkness. We're wrestling against the rulers of darkness in prayer. Amen. And so then, he said also, spiritual wickedness, King James translation said, spiritual wickedness in high places. Or the margin reads, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Now, in the book of Daniel, and turn with me to the 10th chapter of Daniel real quickly now, we read a passage of scripture concerning intercession that will be a tremendous challenge to our prayer life if we'll fully grasp it. Because Daniel is interceding. Notice Daniel, the 10th chapter. We'll read the second and third verses first. Turn back there in your Bibles and read it and mark these verses. If you cannot write in your Bible, throw it away. Get one you can write in. In fact, we have one we'll sell you can write in. Now notice. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Now the Hebrew word translated mourning here, to us, we don't exactly understand it. Actually, fasting. Fasting. 3 full weeks. Now notice verse 3, and he'll tell you how he fasted, you see. I ate no pleasant bread. Bread just stands for food. All through the Bible, bread doesn't mean it just ate bread. No pleasant food. See, there's more than one way to fast. He wasn't on a complete fast where he didn't eat anything. There's more than one way. You could fast by just turning television off for 3 weeks. Amen. I said amen. There are many ways that you can fast. And so this wasn't what we'd call a complete fast. He wasn't complete without food. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh, in other words, he didn't eat any meat, nor wine into my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now I think this scripture makes it clear, I'm going to say it again, it's so important, that there are different ways to fast, and that fasting doesn't always mean total abstinence. Now let's skip down to the 10th verse and start reading now, the same opening. And behold, a hand touched me. Daniel is praying now. This is the 21st day, the end of the 3 weeks of fasting and praying. He calls it mourning. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. You see, he's just stretched out flat on his face before God. And this hand touched him. He didn't get up. That hand touched him and set him upon his knees and the palms of his hand. And so he said, the palms of my hand. The 11th verse. And he said unto me, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you. This is an angel that's come. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood, Daniel said, I stood trembling. 12th verse. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, he calls fasting, chasten yourself before the Lord, thy words were heard. God didn't have to wait 21 days to hear it. He heard his words the very first day. And I am come for thy words. Now I want you to notice that he said, from the first day, he'd been praying for 21 days and fasting. But from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy word. That angel was dispatched or was sent the very first day. The answer was sent immediately. How come it took so long to get through? How come it took him 21 days? Look at the 13th verse. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, archangel, you know, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, he's not talking about, this is an angel. And Michael is an angel that came to help him. It wasn't some physical being, prince of Persia, that withstood him. There was a ruler in this world, in the spirit world, that was really the prince of Persia and running rulers of the darkness of this world. And he withstood him. You know, you can't withstand. You can't see an angel. You see any? Well, if God lets you, you can't. But you see, this is something that happened in the spirit realm. This is something that happened in the spirit world. And so, let's notice this. First of all, that the angel was not sent from heaven to Daniel with the message until he prayed. Notice that God didn't do anything about this situation until somebody on the earth asked him. God, notice this then, the second fact. God sent the answer on the first day. But the answer was 21 days in getting there. Sometimes when we pray, the answer doesn't always get through instantly. That doesn't mean that God does not hear us. That doesn't mean that God has not answered. That's when we have to do what Paul said here. Stand, withstand. Amen. He mentioned standing in this section of scripture I read three times. The word stand is there, and one time withstand. We have to stand. But you see, God sent the answer the very first day, but it didn't get through, not to Daniel. Now why? Verse 13 explains that the prince of Persia withstood the angel that's bringing the answer. He's not talking about a physical person when he talks about the prince of Persia. An angel is not a physical being. An angel is a spirit being. And so the prince of Persia was a spirit being. In other words, there was on the earth, down here, an earthly kingdom with a prince, physical man, prince of Persia, heading up that kingdom. But right above this earthly kingdom in the heavenlies, you remember here it says, we wrestle against spiritual wickednesses, King James in high places, or wicked spirits, the margin said, in the heavenlies. Now, turn back, you're right there in Ephesians, that sixth chapter, turn right back to the second chapter and notice another expression that'll help you and help us. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. And you hath he quickened, writing to the church at Ephesus, you hath he made alive. The word quickened means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. See, we're in the world, but not of the world. We shouldn't walk according to the course. We shouldn't walk according to the course of this world. Now listen. According, what does he mean, the course of this world? According to the prince of the power of the air. Prince of the power of the air? Yeah. Prince of Persia withstood me. Now listen. Who is this prince of the power of the air? The spirit, he's a spirit, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Did you get it? So you see, there on the earth, here on the earth is the earthly kingdom of Persia with a physical man, prince of Persia, heading it up or in authority. Right above it in the heavenlies was a spiritual kingdom of darkness. And in that kingdom was a prince of Persia that really dominated in this earth realm, the course of the world. A satanic being called prince of Persia that was dominating the government of Persia. And incidentally, you understand and know that Persia is in our modern day Iran. And I think you can see that that fella is still in existence and he's still dominating the government of Persia, Iran. You'll find that these spirits endeavor to dominate every nation, the government, including our own. I said including our own. And if you let up for a moment, in interceding and in praying, it'll just creep right back in and take over. We need to drive back the forces of darkness by interceding. That's the reason Paul said to pray for kings and for all intercessions, for all that are in authority. You see, the prince, this spiritual being, spirit being, didn't want the angel to get through with the answer to Daniel. Now why? Because it was going to mean the end eventually. You see, he brought a message. That angel brought a message to Daniel concerning Israel. And that was that this Medo-Persian kingdom would be dissolved. And the Grecian kingdom would come. And finally the Roman kingdom would come and rule over Jerusalem. So when the prince of Persia withstood the angel, God sent reinforcements of another angel Michael, who was one of the chief princes, or an archangel. And finally, on the 21st day, he got through to Daniel with the message. Now, here's something that I want you to see, and then we'll understand about intercession. Notice again this fact, that the angel that came with the answer was not dispatched from heaven until Daniel prayed. Notice by Daniel continuing to pray that then reinforcements were sent. Notice that there was a battle going on, a warfare going on. Listen real carefully now. There was a warfare going on in the heavenlies. Amen. Now notice this, that the warfare was going on because and as a result of Daniel praying. Secondly, notice that the warfare that was going on in the heavenlies was initiated from the earth. Did you get that? Remember something that Jesus said? Matthew 18:18. What things ever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now we see that in a new light. What does it mean in heaven? Up in the heaven? No. You see, the Bible speaks of three different heavens. You have to read the context and see which one of the heavens he's talking about. Now, for instance, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, for just a moment, and we'll illustrate to you. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Paul said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. All Bible scholars and theologians agree that Paul was talking about his own experience. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, now notice that, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He didn't know whether he's in the body or whether he's out of his body, just the inward man, the spirit man. Now notice, such is one caught up into the third heaven. Caught up into the third heaven. Now look at the third verse. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He's talking about his own experience. All Bible scholars agree to that. Now listen. You see, there are three heavens mentioned in the scriptures. You'll notice that our text said, we wrestle not against principalities, or against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits, or spiritual wickedness in high places. Or the margin said, wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Not just mentioned one heaven, but heavenlies. Now listen, first of all, there is the atmospheric heaven right above us, air. Well, notice it's infested with demons because we just got through reading about the prince of the power of the air. Amen? So there's the atmospheric heaven right above us. Prince of the power of the air. Where there's atmosphere, air. You get out a bit beyond the atmosphere of air, then you get on out there where the stars are and planets. And then that's the second heaven. And then out beyond that is the heaven of heavens, which is paradise. Now, let's go back to the text then that we looked at in Matthew 18:18. What things ever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There isn't anything bound in paradise that needs to be loosed. Are you listening? I'm talking about the third heaven now. Amen. What things ever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What things ever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. There's nothing loosed. Loosing and binding is not going on in paradise. But you see, it's in these other two heavens. heavenlies, where evil spirits are, that the loosening and the binding has to be done. Oh, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see then that when Daniel prayed, hallelujah, and that's one way of loosening, and that's one way of binding the power of the devil, is through intercessory prayer. Not the only way, but one way. And really the most successful way to do it. And so you see then, when you, Daniel, in other words, the whole thing was started right here on the earth. And that's what Jesus is saying. It'll have to start there on the earth. What things soever you, he's talking to the people of God, loose on earth, bind on earth, will be bound in heaven. What things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Because you see, there's the activity of these demons, like this prince of Persia, that was really dominating the kingdom of Persia. So what we need to do in intercession in our own nation, you see, we are, you listen, and it's truth, it's facts. Just a few things could happen in our economy, and we are in trouble. I said, we are in trouble. Now, we're in trouble enough. Amen. But we need to, through intercession and prayer and supplication, just tell the devil to take his hands off of our economy. We need to tell him to take his hands off of our politics. I don't care if those people aren't saved. These kings Paul was talking about weren't saved. If we stop the activity, start it down here, and we stop it up there, then it'll come right back to us. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Can you get that? May the Holy Ghost unveil it to us. Amen. Now, let's go a step further. Notice verse 20. Well, let's say it again then. Let's just reiterate this. When the prince of Persia withstood the angel, God sent reinforcements. I wonder if Daniel had quit interceding, but what the answer would have never gotten through. You see, I wonder if the reinforcements would have been sent. Good question, isn't it? But he stayed at it. Now listen, reinforcements of another angel, and finally on the 21st day he got through to Daniel with the message. Notice what the angel said as he left Daniel. Notice what he said. Verse 20. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. I mean, it's not over yet, he said. And yet, him fighting, returning, and fighting with the prince of Persia is still a result of Daniel interceding. And lo, the prince of Grecia shall come, or of Greece. All right, let's go back again to Ephesians 6:12. We can understand it then. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Who are these rulers of the darkness of this world? They're here in the atmosphere above us. And then above that, in that second heaven, there are other spirits. Against wicked spirits in high places, or wicked spirits in the heavens. And so let me say it again. Let me reiterate it. There are three heavens spoken of in the Bible. The heaven of heavens, where God's throne is, paradise, where Paul talked about being caught up into it. The heaven above us, where the planets and the stars are. The atmospheric heaven right above us. The atmospheric heaven is what he's referring to here, the prince of the power of the air. In this unseen world, this kingdom, the kingdom of this world, listen, Satan has authority. He's ruling. Now that should be obvious to anyone. I was amused some time ago reading an article in the newspaper by a columnist who made the statement that he didn't claim to be a Christian. And yet, right on the other hand, he said, I don't deny that there's a God. He just wasn't a Christian, hadn't been born again. I believe there is a supreme being. I believe there is a God. But he said this, I can't go along, he said, with a lot of people, even Christians, what they say about God. And evidently he'd been to church, because he mentioned that some minister said, God is running everything. He's in control in this earth. And that communist went on to say, if he is, he sure got it in a mess. Amen. No, you see, friends, Satan set up his kingdom here on the earth in the spirit realm when Adam sold out to him. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, speaking of Satan, Paul said that he is the god of this world. He set up the kingdoms here, the powers, the principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're all here in this atmospheric heaven right above us that we have to deal with. And then, of course, through prayer, we deal with those spirits in the heavens. And this is where the fight is in making intercession. It's not with God. God's not withholding from us. God didn't withhold from Daniel. He sent the answer the very first day. Somebody said, hold on to God till the answer comes. God sent the answer the first day. The angel said, God dispatched me with the answer the first day you prayed. But something happened between heaven and earth that kept the answer from getting through. We learn a spiritual principle. That's the reason that sometimes we have to wrestle. It's not that we're wrestling with God. He's on our side. You wrestle against an opponent. Amen. God's on our side. We're not wrestling with him. It's not God that's withholding from us, because he's not. We wrestle against principalities. We wrestle against powers. We wrestle against rulers of the darkness of this world. We wrestle against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, so many times we try to work it all out on the flesh and blood level when there's demons involved, evil spirits involved. He didn't say we wrestle not. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do wrestle against these powers. Sometimes as a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, you simply have to stand your ground. And that's what Paul keeps saying here. Know what belongs to you and refuse to be moved, having done all to stand. You have to accept the challenge. Now, if you expect to float through life on flowery beds of ease, you're mistaken. I mean, there's a fight on, and you're called to fight. There's a wrestling match going on, and you're called to wrestle. There's a warfare going on. Remember the Bible said, the weapons of our warfare? We're at war. It's a spiritual war. Don't let up for a minute. That's what we do so many times, and that's the reason the devil moves in. See, the devil will throw every roadblock he can in the Christian's way. Instead of spending all of your time trying to figure out in your noodle, your noodles, this bump here on your shoulders, why this had to happen to you, stand up, look the devil right in the face, bless God, and say, Mr. Devil, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me in God's word. You are not going to dominate me. Now, just a moment. Stop for a minute. Prayer is fellowshipping with God. Prayer is carrying out his will on the earth. Prayer isn't just gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, I'll take all you'll gimme. I mean, when you stand up against the devil and say, Mr. Devil, you've come so far, you can't come any further. That's prayer. You're carrying out God's will on the earth. Are you listening to me? When you make the right confession, that's prayer. You're carrying out God's will on the earth. I mean, some people got the idea you're not praying unless you're down on your knees or beating the floor, waving your arms like a windmill and spitting cotton. Well, that may happen sometime, but that's not necessarily the truth. Now, see, that's it. You've got to stand up to the devil. That's the reason Paul said right here in this same book of Ephesians, in the 4th chapter, he said, neither give place to the devil. He's talking to the church and every individual member in the church. Ephesians 4:7. Neither give place to the devil. What does he mean, neither give place to the devil? Well, that means he'll take a place in you if you let him. But that means that he cannot take a place in you unless you let him, because you've got authority over him. Amen. Now let's turn to the 28th chapter of Ezekiel real quickly and get another scriptural example of what I'm talking about. You know, the Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now notice in Ezekiel 28, we see more about this double kingdom. What do we mean double kingdom now? The natural kingdom upon the earth and the spiritual kingdom right above that natural kingdom that's really dominating that particular kingdom or nation. Ezekiel chapter 28. We'll start reading verse 1 and 2. Ezekiel said, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sat in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Now notice, yet thou art a man and not God. Now he's talking about a man here. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now the prince of Tyrus that he refers to here is a man, a physical being. For he said, thou art a man. Now in that 28th chapter of Ezekiel, skip down to the 11th verse and then start reading. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. Now you see, he had a word for this physical man being that was the ruler of Tyrus. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. Well, thousands of years have transpired. He couldn't be talking about a physical being. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, and so on. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. This is a created being he's talking about. Amen? Amen. Thou art the anointed cherub. See, that's a created being that covereth, and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. It's quite obvious he's not talking about a physical being. Yet he calls him the king of Tyrus, doesn't he? All right, let's go on reading. 16th verse. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Now may we reiterate. It is quite obvious here that this is not a man that God's talking about. He's talking about a spirit being. He calls him a created being twice. And then he calls him at one time before he fell an anointed cherub. Now at first he spoke of the prince of Tyrus, saying to him, yet thou art a man, a physical being. But when he spoke of the king of Tyrus, he said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The prince of Tyrus was never there in Eden, the garden of God. But Satan was there. And really, that's what he's talking about. Satan, or Lucifer, was originally a created being and was an anointed cherub. He's talking here about Lucifer or Satan. He's talking, he's saying that on the earth, the prince of Tyrus had an earthly kingdom that he ruled. But behind that earthly kingdom, there was an invisible kingdom that Satan, with his invisible kingdom, was actually ruling that kingdom on the earth. Can you see that? So we see this double kingdom reference, both in the reference of the scripture of Ezekiel and then the scripture that we looked at in Daniel. Now turn to 2 Corinthians. We quoted a portion of it a moment ago just to make a point. We'll look again here. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 5th and 6th verses. Now notice we read, "For the weapons of our warfare." We are in a war. Are you listening? I said, are you listening? Yes. Now you see, I think, and God wanted to emphasize, see, whatever needs to be emphasized, what we need, the Holy Ghost will emphasize it. See, the church world needed the faith message. Amen. And so God emphasized that. But I think that so many people thought, if I walk before faith, there's no fight, there's no war, there's no nothing. Just float through life on flowery beds of ease, you know, hunky-dory. And we didn't enter into the warfare. And by not entering into the spiritual warfare in prayer, the devil devastated some of us. Amen. You might as well say amen, it's so. See, we read this, fight the good fight of faith. We read expression like that. There's a fight. We read the other scripture, wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Wrestle. That denotes putting forth strenuous effort. Did you ever see anybody reading wrestle? I don't mean just put on a show, you know, some of that fake stuff. Amen. I mean reading wrestle, they groan. I said they groan. They make all kind of noises. We wrestle. That means strenuous effort. We wrestle against principalities, powers. Fight, wrestle. Now we've got the word warfare. There is a war on. It'll be on in the spirit realm till Jesus comes. That is, as far as we're concerned. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. As a good soldier, Paul said of Jesus Christ. I think some of you forgot your soldiers. I don't know what you thought you were. Amen. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen. 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 Warfare. For the weapons of our warfare. So we are at war. We are wrestling. But you can't get an arm lock on the devil. Amen. I said, amen. No, sir. Not physically you can't. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal means fleshly. They're not natural. You can't take a sword and cut it. Amen. You can't take a hammer and knock him in the head. If an intruder comes into your house, if you don't have any other weapon, you could pick up a hammer and knock him in the head. People have done that. But if the devil comes as an intruder, and he will, and he does, into your home and house, how are you going to deal with him? You can't pick up a hammer and knock him in the head. The devil comes in to take your children. Too many times folks have said, well, you know, the Bible said in the last days, children will be disobedient to parents, so they let them go right on being disobedient. You say, no, devil, you can't have them. Amen. No, devil, you can't have them. Right. Amen. Amen. And then get a hold of them and, bless God, train them. Train up a child in the ways he go and he's old and not depart from it. Amen. Amen. The Bible plainly said a child left to itself will bring a reproach on its parents. Just leave your children alone and they'll bring a reproach on you. The Bible said so. Tell you ahead of time what they'll do. Whether they're preacher's kids or deacon's kids or just your kids. Amen. Well, let me get off of that. The weapons. We do have weapons. You got to have weapons when you're at war. If you don't have any weapons, you ain't going to win nothing. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. fleshly, natural, but mighty. Whoa, glory to God. That sounds a whole lot like putting on the whole armor of God, don't it? That sounds a whole lot like being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The power of His might. Mighty through God. Get that now. The weapons of our warfare, 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 of our warfare. Our warfare. Our warfare. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. When he said our, that means the church at Corinth and me, mine, ours. If I say tonight, our, I'm talking about you and me, we are here, are those that's watching us. So that applies to the church everywhere. Our warfare. Our warfare. I don't think some people knew there's a warfare. Some people caught on, like some intercessors, you know, caught on what was happening and got into it, but some way or another didn't communicate to us perhaps as well as they should. And we just read right over a lot of things. Our warfare. Everybody say our warfare.
Our warfare.
Well, if it's ours, it's yours. Amen. Our warfare, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal. But listen to this. Mighty. Powerful, in other words, when it said mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those strongholds are there in that realm. That's these principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness world that's got a stronghold over nations, a stronghold over people, and dominated them. But we're pulling them down.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God, hallelujah. I said glory to God. Amen. I think a lot of times that, you know, we put prayer on such a basis that folks, you know, say, well, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Folks said, oh, my God. Oh, well, I'm not a-going. I think we ought to have a pulling down of stronghold meeting. Everybody come, we're going to pull down stronghold. Oh, well, I've got no interest in that. Yes, it's your warfare as well as ours.
Amen.
Amen. Get involved. Now notice the fifth verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Now remember, we wrestle against these high things in the heavens. That exalt yourself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, in this spiritual war, there is a spiritual war going on. There is a spiritual war going on. It was going on in the days of Paul, and it's still going on. There's no end to it until the end comes and God takes over and rules and reigns. Praise God upon the earth. Hallelujah. Are you listening?
Amen.
So there is a spiritual war. Now some of us that get into prayer more than others, and yet everybody's in this war. There's nobody that's not in it because it's our warfare. We sense a time. I said to somebody, you know, when I went out on the field last church I pastored, and I left my church in February 1949, went out on the field in field ministry from February, March, April, May, 4 months. I fought more devils and more demons. I mean, they just seemed to gang up on me than I had in 15 years of ministry put together. Put together. 15 years of ministry put together in 4 months. You think about that. Now, I was conscious of them at other times. But I mean, I, such a fight. Well, that was 1949. 49, 59, 69, 79, 89 would be 40 years, but this is 87, so that's 38 years. And I said to somebody, I said it to him on back there at the, in January. January, it was true. February, I said it to certain individuals. March and April of this year, I said I've fought more devils and more demons than I have in 38 years put together. There's a warfare going on. See, a lot of people, you see things happen here in the natural. And you think it's a physical something. You think it's a natural something. It isn't at all. It's a spiritual. There's spiritual powers behind the whole thing. And I sense that. I mean, last fall began to make intercession. Sometimes it just come on me. I mean, we're sitting in a restaurant, you know, with a group here, praying. I mean, eating. And I just broke out crying. I didn't want to stay there in public, you know. Went to the room. And I said to her, my wife prayed with me. Patsy prayed. And they said, well, what is it? I said, I don't know altogether, but I know part of it. But I said, we haven't got the whole job done. We just got part of it done. And then again, later on, same thing happened to me. And so they went with me to pray. And because it was in public, you know, and they didn't want to disturb, you know, people out in public don't know. You can't pray that way in public and groan. You know, when you're asking, you're groaning. And go on that way in public. And there are a lot of kind of prayer meetings that we don't need to have out in public. Are you listening to me? Folks don't understand. And so I said to them again, well, we made further progress, but we didn't get through. Let's just. And so then, to tell you the real truth about it, we didn't really break through until just one of our just about a week ago in one of our, we have prayer every week, all the employees. Tuesday. And I guess it was about Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, my wife said, well, we broke through. I said, yeah, we broke through that thing. But see, we've been a battling. You talk about battling. My God, I don't want to go through it again. Oh, dear God, I don't want to go through it again. You talk about a fight. You talk about wrestling. You talk about warfare. I mean, in February and March of this year, oh, dear God, dear God. Dear God, it seemed like all the devils of hell ganged up on me. And you may think it's a sign of unbelief, but I even said to the Lord one night in the night, dear God, if it be all right with you, just let me leave here and come on home. Just let me come on home. If it's fine with you, but he said, no, you can't come on home. You've got to stay there. And so I picked up my weapons and took off after the devil again. Amen. I said, amen. But oh, thank God. I tell you, it's a good one to win that battle. But that don't mean that we can let up now, because if you let up and stop, the devil will be right back tomorrow camping on your foot, your footstool, or camping on your steps. Amen. But glory to God, we stand our ground. Hallelujah. The weapons. Now notice, in this spiritual war, we do have weapons, because he said our weapons. We do have weapons. But they're not carnal. We don't have guns. We don't have hand grenades. Amen. We don't have machine guns. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. They are mighty. They are mighty. Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. I'll tell you, we pulled down some strongholds, whether you know it or not, the last few months. These are satanic strongholds, powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness world, wicked spirits in the heavenlies, powers in the realm of darkness. That's where intercession comes in. Are you listening to me? Now, you are acquainted, and I think it's all right to, you know, to say this now, but you're acquainted with Sister Goodwin. She comes here to church some. Brother Goodwin's going to be with the Lord. I preached many meetings for them a number of years ago, to be more explicit about it. 1949, first, I held a meeting. They were not pastor of this church. In this meeting for another pastor. In this church for another pastor. Hardest place to preach in you ever seen in your life. Man, it was tough. And then Brother Goodwin came to pastor the church, and I preached for him. We live just adjoining the parsonage, right? Adjoining the church. And that's when I was talking about fighting most of many devils. And I preached for him. Hardest church to preach in. Just tough. And I'd do a lot when you was in, maybe just preach a service for him. Until you didn't want to do it. I mean, you just hated to get in the pulpit. It is hard to preach. tough. And Brother Goodwin said, he and I talked about it. He said, well, the people are good people. I know they love him. They took care of him financially better than anywhere, nearly. And he visited them in the home. They love him, you see. It doesn't mean that they're not... we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not people. You won't lay it on to people. Well, they're not receptive. They are not receptive to the word. See? They're not receiving it. See, if you're not careful, you're always talking about flesh and blood. And it's a flesh and blood thing, and that's not it at all. Amen. And so, I was going to hold a meeting then, and did hold a meeting, in another church there in East Texas, in January of 1951. And so I went down there to... 1950. I was going down to this church to start a meeting. But on a New Year's Eve, I stopped by Brother Goodwin's and spent the night with him and then went on over next day to the other church. And he was having a New Year's Eve service. And so I went with him and he asked, from 8 till midnight, I preached and we did a lot of things and then prayed the old year out and the new year in. And I went on after midnight then out to the parsonage with Sister Goodwin. Brother Goodwin was closing up the building, be sure the doors are locked and the lights are turned off and everything's in order, and the fire's off because it's wintertime. And Sister Goodwin said, Brother Hagin, can you tell any difference in preaching in this church? I said, any difference? Dear Lord, I said, I started to say as much difference is between heaven and hell. But I'll say there's as much difference as is between daylight and dark. Just so free, same people. Just so free and easy to preach, teach. Just marvelous, marvelous. She said, ask Daddy to tell you what happened. So after a while, Brother Goodwin came on over and we sat down to have a little refreshment. We hadn't eaten any supper and all, And Brother Goodwin said, Brother Hagin, he said, I just wouldn't tell him. You see, isn't it sad that you can't really share spiritual things with so many people that are supposed to be spiritual? Isn't it sad? I said, isn't it sad that we know so little about the spirit world? We live in this world. Isn't it sad that you can't even talk to preachers sometimes? I know I drive 100, my wife and I would drive 100 miles out of the way just to talk to Brother Sister Good, because you'd talk to them about things other preachers, they didn't know what you're talking about. I don't think they even knew there's a spirit world out there. Bless their hearts. They live so carnal, so in the natural. And so Brother Goodwin said, I just got tired of that. I knew the people loved me. They supported me. 100%. I just got tired. I set myself to seek God, like Daniel said it. Lord, what's the matter? And I began to fast and pray. And he said, I'd been walking around there in the church, praying. And I was just lying down on the floor, on the platform, just lying there, with my hands under my head, praising God. Looking, up at the ceiling. And suddenly the whole ceiling disappeared. I got my eyes wide open. The ceiling disappeared. And I could see the rafters. And right above the pulpit, there's a rafter that went across there, And there was some kind of a creature sitting on that rafter. Looked like a big baboon. Right above the pulpit. You see where it was? He had bound that thing. It was a spiritual thing. And he said, I thought, dear God, I've been fasting several days. I'm hallucinating now. Seeing things. And I got up. And it's still there. And I walked around the pulpit. And it's still there. And I said to him, hey, fella. You're going to have to come down from there. He didn't say anything, but I could tell, look in his face, he didn't want to. And so he said he fell down, and held on with one hand right above the pulpit. And then jumped down here on the pulpit. And then jump from the pulpit down here on the floor. And I said, you're not only come down there, but you're going to have to get out of here in the name of Jesus. And he run over here to the side of the platform and stopped and looked back. Never did say anything, but you can tell. He don't want to go. He don't want to go. I said, go ahead, get out of here. And so he walked down the steps off the platform and he got down here, where the pew started. He stopped and looked again. You could tell the longing look on his face. Don't make me go. Please don't make me go. He said, go on. And I walked off the platform and just shooed him down the aisle, Go on, in the name of Jesus. Now we got to the back door of the church and he said, I know, being a spirit, he could have just went right through the door. But I opened the door and if somebody had seen me, they thought, dear God, he's lost his mind. I didn't see anything. I opened the door and said, out you go. And so he walked out, got out on the church porch, look back. He don't want to go. I said, no, go ahead. And so he jumped off the porch and ran out to the edge of the street and stopped there on the curb and looked again, just longing me. Don't make me go. Don't, please don't, in other words. And he said, I walked out in the yard and said, no, you go on in Jesus' name and don't you come back. And he ran across the street and he ran down the other side. He said, I stood there and watched him. And down there, some distance away, was a nightclub called the Green Hornet or Green Hut or something like that. And he run into it and it burned down the next night. You remember those demons that Jesus, the fifth chapter of Mark, gave permission to go in that herd of swine, and they ran violent down a cliff and were drowned. And that's the easiest place to preach in then? Oh, somebody said, you know, you believe that? Well, I don't believe in things like that. Oh, yeah, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, a fellow like that needs another dip. I don't care if he is a preacher. I don't mean a dip of Levi either. He needs another dip in the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He needs to get into the Bible. Did you hear me? Now, Brother Goodwin said, I was determined. Daniel was determined. I'm going to break through this thing. I'm not going to be bought. You know, a preacher's pulpit, a pastor especially, and of course, if you go in there, then you've got to, whatever's there, you've got to contend with it, whatever spirits. But a pastor's pulpit ought to be a throne, but too many times it's a prison. Amen. Too many times it's a prison. But you see, we try to deal with it naturally. You see, sometimes in dealing with people, as well as with churches, we need to realize that really we're not dealing with people. We're dealing with the spirit behind the person. The spirit. Often in prayer and intercession, God will show you how to do it, just as he did that pastor. Now, if we don't know anything about spiritual intercession, we don't know anything about spiritual prayer, then we are at a disadvantage. I said we are at a disadvantage. I think sometimes some folks are like the little joke they tell about the fella. You know, he and his buddy was about half drunk. And if you've got any religious background, when you get drunk, you get religious. Oh, yeah. And so they got real religious. They was in the bar about half drunk. They got real religious. One of them said to them, well, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. I said, yes, I do. I'll bet you $10 you can't say the Lord's Prayer. He said, I can. Just put your $10 up. He said, now lay me down to sleep. And the fellow said, here's your 10. I didn't think you knew it. And I'll tell you the truth about it. That's about the extent of our praying a lot of times. I mean real Christians. Amen. Amen. If we don't know anything about real spiritual intercession, dear friends, and spiritual warfare in prayer, we are at a disadvantage. Now we see the same implication in the kingdom of Persia and the king of Tyrus. The same thing would be true in spiritual things as in the natural kingdoms. Many times we blame things on people when there's a power behind the whole situation. We try to deal with the person. Sometimes a preacher, pastor, will get up and beat the people over the head when there's a power behind the thing that needs to be dealt with. But who's going to pull down these strongholds? God? No. No. The weapons of our warfare. Not God's warfare. Our warfare. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. He has provided us the weapons for us to pull down the strongholds. But if the strongholds are not pulled down, then whose fault is it? If we don't do it, they will never be pulled down. Now, when Daniel was interceding for Israel, it said that he set his face to seek God. It didn't say God laid it on his heart. God does lay it on our heart sometime. We do feel a burden to pray sometime. But he set his face. He set his face I mean, bless God, he did it. The weapons of our warfare. He set his face to seek God. And the angel came, bless God, with the answer. And the vision, he said, is for many days. The angel brought the answer. He came through with it. But listen carefully in conclusion. The key was Daniel. The key was Daniel. The key wasn't God. The key wasn't the angel. The key wasn't the prince of Persia. The key to the whole situation was Daniel. And the key to the situation today is you. Daniel was the man who brought it to pass through intercession and persevering prayer. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, when you're in war and when you're wrestling, you're not very gentle. Somebody said, well, you ought to be quiet now. Just be quiet, you know. It's all right to pray, but pray in a whisper. You know, you're liable to disturb somebody. Oh, dear God. Well, those kind of folks. Did you ever notice, you know, I don't watch it because I'm not interested in it, and most of it's a bunch of show anyway. But you ever notice when you do happen to be dialing along and catch some wrestling on TV? I mean, they're not quiet and the crowd's not quiet. I mean, they're getting after it. But we're at a wrestling match. Not only that, but we're at warfare. Do you ever notice some of the pictures when they're in war? There's plenty of noise going on. I mean, they never did fight a quiet war. Did they? I said, did they? And I tell you, sometimes you have to get in there. I know from experience. You just have to get in there, bless God, and fight. And put forth effort. Physical effort. Groanings. Praying. Praise God forevermore. Until you pull down the strongholds. Till you pull down the strongholds. I know this much. You know, we were praying. I was conducting meetings, prayer meetings here at school every Monday night. Endeavoring by precept as well as an example to teach students and anybody wanting to come to pray. Conducted them over a 2-year period. And then we learned, you know, that our grandson, Craig, Ken's son, had a brain tumor. Well, I said, everybody come back. Actually, we didn't know what it was at first. We knew he was having some problem. But I said, whatever it was we was praying about, we didn't get through last night, Monday night. Come back tomorrow night and just pray. We came back Tuesday night and we prayed. And I said, some of you may remember that. Anybody remember that? Some of you, yeah, several do. Some of you. I said on Tuesday night, we didn't get through. You see, we were fighting in the spirit realm. I didn't know what it was. We didn't know he had a brain tumor. We didn't know. I said, we didn't get through. See, you ought to have enough spiritual discernment to know when you got through and when you didn't. Stay with it. You'll lose a battle if you don't. You can't quit in the middle of the battle. And so we came back Wednesday night. And we prayed. And I said to him, we didn't get through. We didn't get through. Whatever this is, we're coming up against spiritual forces. We didn't get through. As many of you can, come back tomorrow night, Thursday night. Well, on Thursday, you see, because see, he just had some problems and didn't think it was very serious. Even the doctors didn't at first, but then his head got to hurting, and in the nighttime, you know, well, Ken went to the room and he's just beating the floor and rolling on the floor and holding his head and crying, screaming. And I remember on Thursday morning we woke up and the Spirit of God gave my wife. My wife said, brain tumor. That's it. And so they had him a CAT scan. Well, I'm teaching healing school over here. And they brought me a message to the pulpit right in the middle of my message and said, Ken wants you to come right now. Come right now. So I went over to City of Faith. And so he's got a tumor. And after the doctors found it and all, you know, they said, oh, dear Lord, he played football, said he could have died instantly. I mean, instant, just any second, just a little extra, any second, he can just die like that. The situation, where it was, and so on and so forth. If he just happens to move the wrong way, just a little movement the wrong way, he could die instantly. Oh, just scared them to death almost. I said, well, let's pray about it. Give us a couple of days here. And let's be very careful about him not moving or doing anything. And so we came back here. And I said to him on Thursday night, because we found out, I said, evidently this is what we've been praying about and didn't know it, but let's get it. We prayed through it. We got it done.
You remember I rose up and said, we got it. I knew what it was. I don't know whether you did not. I didn't explain it to you. I said, let's all come back tomorrow night and give thanks for it. You see, I knew. I saw it in the Spirit. I knew. I saw it in the Spirit. Besides that, you know, Tom Pickens was here then and taught, the black man. And before he told me, I saw it in the Spirit. I saw Craig dead. I saw him dead. But Tom Pickens came to me. And he said, because the teachers ever, when they start a new quarter, would take a new semester, a week of praying. And Tom said, I was praying. And he came to me and said, Brother Hagin, I talked to him over there in his office because I was over there. And he said, could I say this to you? He said, and he didn't know what I'd seen. And he said, in that meeting, I saw Ken's son dead. I said, I know it. But thank God we got the answer. He's alive today. And the other night, just two or three weeks ago over here in the young people's prayer, Fusion Building over here, they were praying. He got to praying in tongues for an hour or two. When he got back home, he still couldn't speak English. Speak in tongues. And just a weeping. And finally, Ken dialed and he said to us, Paul and me, Mom said, God said to me, I've called you to the ministry. I want you to follow in the footsteps of your pawpaw and your daddy. Glory to God. Praying in other tongues. But see, the devil tried to stop that. Devil tried to kill him. Are you listening to me? The devil fought me so hard. Way back there. Listen real carefully. Way back there. 1949. February, March, April, May. Fought more devils. Just ganged up on me. In 4 months than I had in 14, 15 years put together. He wanted to stop this ministry. He knows some things about the future. He don't know everything. But he's bound to know some things. Because he said, if you come to torment us before the time. And he wanted to stop what's going on here. And if he could have stopped me, he could have stopped what's happening today. And do you know why he this year has fought so? You know why those demons and evil spirits and just ganged up on us? Don't know whether you got over in that realm or not. Some of you intercessors may have. Because he wants to stop what's about to come. Go to God, but he can't do it. I said he can't do it. He's not going to do it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 These strongholds will stop if we don't pull them down. They'll stop the work of God. Those strongholds, we're wrestling against them. We're fighting against them. But thank God our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, just laugh right in the devil's face. That's what we're laughing about. I said, that's what we're laughing about. Recently, you see, in our prayer meeting here, we broke through. I said to my wife, we like just a little bit. She said that to me. Same thing. I had the same witness. But then we had the international students. We had a little, each one brought food from their own country, and we ate. Then we prayed to them. I began to pray to them. The Spirit of God moved. I never had such an anointing in my life. Only one time before, a stronger anointing, to speak with tongues and interpret. And then we all got to laughing. I never laughed so much in my life. And that was the breakthrough we've been through ever since then. A release. We pull down the last stronghold. Oh, the devil's building some more now, but we'll pull them down too. Just, amen. Just as soon as he gets them built, we'll pull them down too. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless you. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, we need to learn.